Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my co-host and partner in crime, Aramis. How are we doing tonight?
I'm hanging in there, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm having a good day. It's a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So we want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us. This is, just in case you don't know, this is a podcast dedicated to the standard metagame, the standard drafting, the standard, just the standard of Magic the Gathering. So we want to thank you guys for tuning in. We know you have many, many other podcasts that you could be listening to, but we're honored that you're with us. So we're going to be talking today mainly about... we have a Ravnica Allegiance. This is going to be almost wall-to-wall Ravnica Allegiance today.
Yep.
The new set comes out. The pre-release is a week from...
today.
A week from today. This time next week, if we go to a midnight pre-release, we won't be recording because, my God, I'll be tired. I'm too old for... Listen, I'm too old for midnight. I'm sorry.
There's not enough caffeine. Like, if they reprinted the Power 9, then maybe I'd go to a midnight release. But otherwise, yeah, no. I'm getting up in the morning. I'm being able to wake up and be a normal human being.
Yeah, exactly. I've done it before. Aether Revolt. I did a midnight. I got home at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And I slept until 6 p.m. because I was like, holy God, how the hell do I, like, I can remember, like, my muscle memory is, I've done this before, staying up all night, I can do this. Granted, there was a lot more alcohol involved, but I could do this. Nope. No, my body was like, this can't happen. So I did a midnight pre-release again, I think, for Ixalan or Rivals, and then it was, no, you know what, that's why they make the noon. So, I'm now a noon guy, and I mean, you and I think are going to the same store next Saturday, aren't we? Because my local game shop closed. So,
womp womp. Yeah, yeah. I think we are going to the same store. I believe that pre-release starts at noon. And like, the only way I would go to a midnight release is if I had so much caffeine, I don't even think I'd be able to hold the cards. I'd just be like, I'm just gonna shake around, and the cards are flying everywhere. What am I doing? I can't blink.
I think, what was the one right? Dominaria. I did go also to a midnight, but that was because I was already up. For some reason, I was awake and could do it. And I had my old game shop, and this is what I really miss. What I'm really, really going to miss is they used to do this thing because they would do three pre-releases. They had the midnight, they had the noon, and they had a six on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, if you pre-register for all three, you get all three for $50.
That's not bad.
You get three pre-release packs for $50.
Yeah, because normally it's like $25 or so.
Yeah, it's $25-$28 a piece. I'm like, oh my God, I'm totally doing that.
Yeah, you're basically getting six packs for free.
Yeah, now I'm going to miss that. I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, pre-release is coming. I wonder what three packs I'm going to... Oh, wait. Oh.
You get to go to one.
I'm going to one.
It's still better than not going to any. You get a chance to get the cards before the release. You get a chance to win some extra packs. Maybe buy a box. You know.
Don't know about the buy a box. I had to. I did win Above and Beyond at work, so I have a $50 gift card that Wendy doesn't know about.
That's half a box.
There you go. So who knows what could happen, but definitely looking forward to that next week. The pre-release, for those of you that don't know, and the reason that we're actually recording live again is. With the pre-release coming, we really wanted to get some information out there for any of you that are going into the pre-release. So today's episode is really going to deal with, you know, our ideas for strategy to get you ready. We're going to go over, there's been the whole thing is out.
Yep. Full spoiler dropped last night or yesterday afternoon.
So the full spoilers are out. So we got a chance to really kind of look at the cards. I mean, we're coming at this, 18 hours after it happened, so we're not going by an expert by any stretch. Nope. But we're going to give you our best ideas here. So, and it's been kind of great. This week's been kind of great. We really launched last week. We did our Twitch feed. We did a couple of games yesterday. People have been watching it on the Facebook and Twitch. In case you don't know, we're on Twitch. Look us up for Plains Talkers Podcast on Twitch. Every once in a while, we're hoping to get me and Aramis on there. We got to do it a little more. This was one of the worst weeks for me as far as work goes. So I would get home and be like, I don't want to see a computer. I don't want to touch a computer. I'm going to go and read a book or maybe watch The Office. That's it.
Book? So, what are those strange books you speak of?
Well, they're these new things that they're these newfangled things. You can get them all on one little device. And so it was one of those weeks. So I didn't get much in, but please subscribe to us on Twitch. And guess what? We are now live on, which granted, you have the podcast, so I'm kind of hoping you fell into it. We're live in Apple Store. So I'm going to be putting us in Google this week and probably Stitcher is maybe also the, there's a couple other podcast catchers I know out there that I may just drop us in. I mean, you know, cast the net wide.
Yep.
So, but, you know, we want to thank everybody. I've already gotten feedback from, you know, some of our fans, believe it or not. There's a friend of Wendy's is a, she has a son who's trying to get into it, and he's like, this is perfect for me. This is what I'm like, great, we appear to 12-year-olds, but I'm all right with this. So, which is good because my humor really is good about a, you know, a 12-year-old. So,
yeah, we probably just want to drop, you know, not quite as many F-bombs as before.
Although, this is an explicit podcast, so it is what it is.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. We could talk about that offline. But, you know, and we're going to be doing, we're formatting the show a different way. In fact, I forgot to play our first bumper, to tell you the truth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because this is technically what I'm going to call the untap upkeep phase, where we kind of just kind of have some banter and all that. But what we're going to do is the show's going to go into like a format of a turn, is the way we're looking at it. So we're going to have one or two topics of discussion, and then, you know, a little bit of debate about that discussion after the first topic. So, you know, like the first topic will be like a main phase one, and then, you know, Aramis and I may have a little discussion and debate. We'll call that the combat phase. Go to main phase two, where we're going to talk about some other topic or maybe some news and updates, things of that. End step is, hey, here's what's coming next week, and we're out. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm going with that. I think it's going to make it a lot easier for the, you know, people to listen. So, again, we're on Facebook, Twitch, and you can email us as well. But I think we should get right into it because, you know, this is going to be a crazy Allegiant. Ravnica Allegiance is just nuts. So why don't we get right into the first main phase here? What do you think?
Sounds good to me, man. Let's untap.
Main phase.
All righty. So the main phase, what we're talking about this week, draft and sealed. Well, mainly sealed because next week's pre-release is, you know, it's going to be a sealed event. Mm-hmm. And now for those of you that are newer to the podcast, what does a sealed event mean? Aramis, why don't you tell us what a sealed event means?
Sealed event is one of the formats. It's a limited format for Magic the Gathering. Basically what it is, especially for pre-release, it's a little different for pre-release, but generally what it is you get 6 booster packs of a particular set. You open those 6 booster packs. Whatever you open, you build a 40-card deck out of those cards. Anything you don't use in your main deck becomes your sideboard. You can sideboard an unlimited number of cards between each match. For pre-releases, they're pretty lax on deck lists and stuff like that, so you can actually completely change your deck between matches if you don't like what you built originally. You just can't buy any more cards. It still has to be those 6 packs. For a pre-release, and especially for the Ravnica pre-releases, what they're doing is you still get, I believe, 5 packs of Ravnica Allegiance. You also get 1 pack that is a seeded pack for whatever guild you chose. So like we mentioned in the last episode, there's 5 guilds in this set. You have the Azorius Council. You have the Orzhov. Actually, it's the Azorius Senate and the Orzhov Council. You have the Simic something. I forget what that is. The Simic. You have
Ascendancy, isn't it?
Maybe, yeah. You have the Simic, you have the Gruul, and you have the Rakdos. So they're each different color combinations, and whichever guild you pick, you get your pre-release pack is of that guild. So the seeded pack that you get is going to have only cards that are related to your guild. So if you picked Azorius, you're only going to get cards that are either white-blue or white-blue or directly related to your guild. So, you know, if you're looking for a particular card out of a guild, you know, you would, for instance, in Guilds of Ravnica, the big chase card that everybody wanted to get was Assassin's Trophy. So everybody tried to get the Golgari Guild on, you know, in hopes of maybe getting an extra copy of it. And so that guild tended to sell up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it did.
when I went to my pre-release, I wanted Golgari because I wanted that. Ended up with Dimir, but it ended up winning the pre-release with Dimir because Dimir was awesome and Golgari actually wasn't as good.
Well, Dimir was awesome in Limited. You're not, and that's just it. That's kind of why we're talking about this today, is Limited is a little different than, you know, the metagame. So there are two thoughts. There's really two schools of thought. You know, I did with my three pre-release packs, I had two Golgari and then I grabbed an Izzet. And I'm pretty happy with that because my Izzet one I opened Niv-Mizzet. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, hey, I like him. He seems fun.
Yeah.
And and then it was really strange in my Golgari ones, which the one I opened that I played actually at an event, because again I registered for all three but only played one. The one I opened at the event had, I had my Golgari pack and then the five other packs. Like, I couldn't use any of the Golgari because it built Izzet. Like, I was getting, like, all this direct damage, all this instant and sorcery stuff, and none of it fit Golgari. I wasn't getting anything. Yeah. So, let me assure you guys, this isn't kind of like the guild packs that you can get later. You know, the guild kits that they call them. This is actually, you know, you could get a guild, you know, pre-release pack and open your five packs and not be able to play anything you get in the guild. So, I mean, my personal advice to you is with this guild pack is, you know, again, the thought is, do you choose for the release or do you choose for collection? If you think you're going to play, you know, Azor, if you're a blue white player, you may want the Azorius guild pack, whether or not you play it in, you know, in the pre-release. Now, you're going to want to, because if you don't play Azorius in the pre-release, you basically took away one pack. So,
yeah, you're basically trying to build your deck with five packs. So,
right,
you know, pick the guild you know you're going to want to play, and go from there. Because I mean, you know, Benson's experience isn't necessarily what it's going to be for everybody, because I saw people who opened up ridiculous, you know, pre-release packs. They went Golgari, they got like a Vraska, they got an Assassin's Trophy, they got an Izani, and it's like, you know, luckily enough for them, two of their other packs had those cards, whereas, you know, the seeded pack also had something awesome. So, you know, it's totally possible that you open nothing but bombs, great cards, you build a great deck.
It's still random.
It's random, because those five packs are regular booster packs, so you have no idea what you're going to get. It's just that one pack that's going to be geared toward whatever guild you picked.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess, but it's this thought process that you can have as far as my guild pack, I'm going to open something, I'm going to have bombs in Golgari, or Azorius. So, again, to go over the colors real quick, in case there's anybody just joining us, you know, Azorius is blue-white. It's the Azorius Senate. It's going to deal mainly in a lot of control. It's going to deal in a lot of instants. It's going to be dealing with a lot of counter and a lot of their playing stuff, and you're just trying. You tend to play with blue-white on their turn. It's kind of the way you want to roll. Although with the Azorius action now, they're kind of trying to move. It's really strange because it's counter. I think it's counterintuitive to Azorius. You know, the I forget what the name of the mechanic is, but basically
Addendum.
Addendum, yeah. Like, you play it on your phase, you get a boost. It's like, yeah, but it's Azorius. I never want to play on my phase. I want to play on my phase, my bombs, that ends the game. Like, but anyway, Rakdos is the Cult of Rakdos. It is blue, or is black and red. Mm-hmm. Aggression, death, direct damage, some removal. You're going to see quite a few, you know, in my opinion, and we'll talk about this in the combat phase, that's a good limited choice, you know, is Rakdos. Because 9 times out of 10, it's going to be somewhat fast, and it's going to be, you know, instead of, you know, you're not going to have too many heavy bombs, but you're going to have some, you know, you'll get started out of the gate. My opinion, anyway. Gruul, same thing. Gruul is going to give you your bombs. That's red and green. Red's going to give you your speed. Green's going to give you your bombs and ramp and
big dumb creatures.
Yes, big dumb. It is. It's big dumb and fast. Is kind of what it is. So if that's the way if you like to put your foot on the gas, that's your deck.
Especially this go around. I think. Yeah. I think, in my opinion, I think Gruul is one of the better guilds.
Hey,
coming
we're not
out
in
this,
combat but... yet.
We're just, you know, just, I'm just, what is that, like exploratory things. I'm just feeling my way out there.
I see. Okay, you're reconning.
Yeah.
And then there's the Orzhov Syndicate. That's white and black. That's going to deal, Afterlife is their new mechanic there, and that's basically, hey, it's Convoke for the second round of guilds.
Sort of.
It kind of is. It's going to be a lot of tokens and a lot of crazy. It's going to go wide. That's designed to go wide.
Yeah.
And the last one is the Simic Combine. That was what I was, the word I was looking for, not Syndicate. Simic Combine. Although it should have been the Simic Syndicate because that just sounded cool. That's the green and blue. That's going to deal a lot in counters. It's going to deal a lot with, you know, taking smaller creatures and making them larger. So those are the five that are coming out. Each of those is going to have a guild pre-release. So if you pre-register at your local game shop, your LGS, you'll hear us say LGS a lot. If you pre-register for that, they're going to ask you what guild you want to play. So, I mean, I'm probably going to call our game store this week once I verify with the lovely, lovely lady behind me sleeping that, you know, I can go Saturday. Once I verify that, I'll be calling the game store to be like, I want to play whatever I'm going to play, which we'll talk about in combat. So I recommend that if you have a local game shop and you're going to go to this pre-release, call ahead this time. And, you know, this is something we can talk about, too, I guess, at some point, is like, do we think this is where they're going to go from now on? Has this been successful for them? So.
I think they're going to do this as long as they're in Ravnica. I don't think that this is going to be a thing they're going to stick with all the way through. I think this is kind of their gimmick for Ravnica is because it's the guilds. And, you know, you only have really, you can't go into Ravnica Allegiance pre-release saying you want to play Dimir.
Right.
Because there are no Dimir cards.
Right. Like I said, the only five you can do is Azorius, Rakdos, Gruul, and Simic, and Orzhov.
Yeah.
So, you know, choose your champion. So,
exactly. And choose wisely.
Yes. And that's just it. It's that kind of thinking with it. It's that kind of thought process. And I mean, the mechanics in each one, Azorius being... God, what the hell was it? Adaptive?
Adaptation? Addendum.
Addendum, that's it. It's going to be kind of cool. That's the one that basically said, and I just don't think it's going to, by cool I mean actually not cool, I mean more like, you know, I don't think it's going to fire as well. Because if you are playing, you know, if you are playing a Ravnica Allegiance, if you're playing Azorius, you want to play on their turn. Like, it's almost like counterintuitive to how the guild has always been. If that's anything, if I'm making any sense there.
They're being more aggressive this time around, and I think that sort of feeds into the story of why of the set. So it sort of explains why they want it, why they're doing it that way.
I get that we're getting ready for the big battle with, you know, that, you know, the peacemakers, which is kind of what Azorius has always been. They're kind of like the peaceful guild. They're, you know, their counter magic, as I understand the lore and all that, is coming from a place of, you know, hey, quit fighting. It's okay.
It's,
you know?
Hieromancy? It's lore magic.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that they're doing addendum, I guess I understand it from a lore standpoint. From a gameplay standpoint, you know, if you're a blue-white player, you like blue-white. The guys who play blue-white, they like blue-white. Mm-hmm. And if they have a heart, and you put them in an aggro deck, and they don't know what to do, like, because an aggro is put your foot on the gas, keep going. They'll hold back their cards to be like, well, what if you counter it? I mean... It's like, and I mean, I've done this with you. I've played with you my aggro deck and been like, yeah, but I know you have a counter in your hand. You know, it's a mindset that I think addendum is kind of, I'm going to be very interested to see how that plays. You know, it's just my thinking. Whereas, you know, something like Riot for Gruul, Riot's going to break a lot of things.
Yeah, Riot is... Riot is a very straightforward mechanic. It's like, you know, I have a dude. Do I want my dude to be bigger? Or do I want him to have haste?
It's, you know, and then you find the cards that bring it back in with haste and vigor.
Do I smash now or do I smash bigger later?
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's a, It's typical red green. They're coming in big, dumb, and stupid, but and fast. So, you know, I definitely out of the mechanics there. Yeah, that's going to be the one. I've done a little more research. That's the one I think that's got the most possibility of breaking, especially when you put it with the other guilds.
Yeah.
You know, the spectacle, interesting mechanic, interesting idea. You know, you cast a spell for a spectacle cost rather than its mana cost if an opponent lost life this turn. So they're that's more designed for either instant speed damage or to be played after in second main phase.
There's a sorcery that a lot of people that are very excited about with spectacle, and it's actually a common.
Yeah.
Skewer the Critics. Sorcery for 2 and a red, has spectacle of red, deals 3 damage to any target. They're talking about this in Vintage.
Yep, that'll work.
So, I mean, it's a common. They are pushing the envelope with this set. The last couple sets, they've been pushing the envelope, and they're up in the power. So, you know, just be aware of it.
Well, I think they're trying, you know, you got to do something. Because, I mean, there's a reason that Legacy and Vintage are so loved, is that, and I think we talked about this last week, the mechanics in the older sets, and Modern especially, the mechanics, they made it fun. Like, you could do balls out, crazy, stupid, dumb things, and, you know, and then they rotate out of Standard, and then Standard's like, yeah, you get to put a 1/1 counter on this one. Have fun. You know, it is, and if for those of you new to Magic, and again, this is, I think, why we're going to find our niche here at this Planeswalkers podcast is, you know, the reason we're dedicated to Standard is that there's nobody else talking about it, because I have a feeling, because I think they feel it's not as exciting. I love it. I love the Standard. I love to play Standard game because it does change, and it is somewhat dynamic in that if you play Standard now, a year from now, Standard will not look like this. You know, we'll have lost Dominaria, we'll have lost Core 19, we'll have lost Ixalan and Rivals. So, like, things will change. Teferi will no longer be in consideration.
Yep, not unless you want to go to Modern or Vintage.
Yes.
Or Legacy.
So with that in mind, well, I mean, I won't be surprised if they reissue a Teferi in the next set, because, you know, I could see him getting involved in the final battle. Like, they brought him out of Dominaria for a reason.
Yeah, I think the next set we're probably going to see a new Liliana. We'll probably see a new
Chandra.
I think
we'll see a new Gatewatch.
Yeah,
I think
you'll
see everybody.
Yeah, most of the Gatewatch will be there.
I won't be surprised if the next set, and the reason they've been so quiet, is Planeswalkers. Like, a crap ton. Like, every guild, every color is going to have a monster Planeswalker.
Yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it, you know, there's a Planeswalker for each color in the Gatewatch. You have Nicol Bolas. You have an opposing Gatewatch now, basically. You have the Sinister
Vraska.
Six. Yeah. You have what the heck is the name of that the group that opposes the Justice
Sinister
League?
Sinister Six.
But the Justice League.
Oh, the Injustice League?
Yeah, you have an Injustice League, 'cause we
have Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom. There it is. Because we now have 5 Planeswalkers to oppose the 5 Planeswalkers of the Gatewatch. It's because you have Vraska, you have Rahl, you have Kaya, you have Dovinbon, and you have Dombey Raid. They're all right under the influence of Nicol Bolas.
Right. So I kind of hope that's what's happening. Because imagine how stupid that, oh my God, that would be the next pre-release set is choose your Planeswalker.
Yeah. That could be it. That could be it.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine, this could get stupid. I mean, this is a hopeful. Like, guys, this is not what's happening. We are not Wizards of the Coast by any
stretch. Wild speculation is all this is.
So, all right, going back, though. So Spectacle's kind of a good thing, like I said. You know, you get to cast it for its Spectacle cost if somebody lost life. Afterlife, you know what? Last week I was kind of down on this. And the more I've done research, and now I've seen the other cards, okay, this could get stupid. This goes wide quick. You put this in a, like, beyond just this storyline, you put this in a green-white token deck, and you sprinkle in black? Ow. 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 Basically, what Afterlife is when this creature dies, create N11 white and black spirit tokens with flying. N is like the Afterlife. It'll say Afterlife 2, Afterlife 4, Afterlife. So, and you won't have to pay anything. It's just accept the life. So in a white-black deck, it's pretty good. You sprinkle green in there from Selesnya, which was designed for you to go wide quickly. Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. You have a, you know, your biggest problem would be the mana base, but I yep. mean.
Well, you put that creature out there that makes every token that comes in a 5/5 angel. Or that enchantment.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Divine Visitation makes a bunch of 4/4 vigilance angels.
You know what? I might grab four of those. I've only got two. I might grab two more. From a speculation standpoint, I think when you enter Afterlife into this, mm-hmm. I think that card is going to become the new,
Anointed Procession?
Yeah, Anointed Procession. Thank you. Like, I think it's going to become that, like, which broke a ton of things in the previous standard, especially when you had the freaking Crested Sunmare.
Yeah. So. I'm looking to see what the biggest Afterlife is. So far the biggest I've seen is 2, but I'm not in the multicolored cards yet, so. But yeah, it's definitely something that if you can abuse, you find things that abuse tokens. Yeah.
Yeah, this could get stupid. So that's an interesting one. And then finally, there's the Simic Combine, and they have Adapt. And basically what that is, it says if this creature has no 1/1 counters on it, put N11 counters on it. So it's a good mechanic in the right. I think that could see a lot of limited play. I do. I think in a limited standpoint. So if you end up with a Simic pre-release pack, you're going to be pretty okay in this for this event.
Simic is very good for limited. That's for sure.
You know, it's Merfolk from Ixalan and Rivals. So I mean, and I've played a Merfolk deck, and I have a Merfolk deck, and it's pretty good when I'm playing non-meta tuned decks. It's the one I play when I want to, you know, when I just want to, when I'm playing somebody who I know doesn't have a lot of meta deck. So, you know, that's the one I'll pull out because they have the best chance to win. But it also allows me to get really big really quick, and then I get Herald out, and it's the end of the day.
And, like, from a flavor standpoint, Simic is the guild you play if you want to play just weird creatures. I mean, you know, they have a creature that's a jellyfish hydra beast. You know, elf lizard wizard. Frog lizards. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. So Simic is kind of cool. But there's that. So those are the five guilds, and I think what we should do now is, I mean, I really want to get into now the nuts and bolts of this. So, let's talk about really which way to go for next week. So we're going to go right into combat. Me and Aramis are just going to throw it down now about which ones we think you should try to go for next week for pre-release. So here comes combat.
Combat phase.
Alrighty. Aramis?
Yes.
I've talked a lot. You, sir, have the floor.
Well, it will be hard for me to make big words because I am all for Gruul. Smash, kill, destroy. I think that the riot mechanic is very good. I think that their creatures are extremely powerful for the cost. The only problem that you run into, I think, is the fact that, you know, you're going to probably be spending a little more mana, so it might be a little bit slower for certain aspects of it, depending on what you open. But, you know, there's a couple of cards in here that I think if you open them in your packs, you're going to be pretty happy. Like, say, I don't know, Endraise Forerunners. It's a nice rare creature from the set. It is a 7/7 for 5/3 green. It has Vigilance, Trample, and Haste. When it enters the battlefield, other creatures you control get +2/+2 and gain vigilance and trample until end of turn. So there's your finisher.
Yep.
Makes all your dudes huge and makes them all have vigilance and you just smash their face. If you want to go for the long game, there is Biogenic Ooze. This is a mythic. A 2/2 for 3/2 green. When it enters the battlefield, you create a 2/2 green ooze creature token. At the beginning of your end step, put a +1/+1 counter on each ooze you control, and you can pay 1 and 3 green to create a 2/2 green ooze creature token. So this guy does it all by himself.
Nice. Yeah, yep. It's hard to argue that. It is. It's hard to argue with red-green as far as from a limited... And again, this is a limited... Next week's limited. So, you know, you're going to open up packs that are pretty strong. And here's the thing about that. And, you know, next week's set is blue-white, red-black, red-green, white-black, blue-green. So, nobody has more than two... you know, more than two guilds. So I think last time one of the things was is that I think green black, because black was also inside. No, I guess everybody there had two too. They did a good job at this. Okay, never mind. Because I was like, I thought there was one last time that had like color across, like it was white or something, like it was actually sitting in three guilds, but it wasn't.
No, yeah, nothing. There's no three color cards in this set. Basically, what people would do is they'd pick a guild and they might splash a little bit of a second guild that was related to the other two colors. So if you were playing Dimir, you might splash a couple of good Golgari cards if you happen to have it,
right?
You know, or vice versa.
See, for me, I like Rakdos, I like the spectacle, I love the idea of getting things out, and there's enough direct damage, there's enough. You know, and I'm looking through the spoilers here. There's enough black and red damage that spectacle can come into play. Mm-hmm. You know, as well as things like, you know, I'm sorry, Act of Treason is back. That's always good. As far as, hey, I'm going to take this big old creature you got there and I'm going to hit you with it. Mm-hmm. So, thank you. You know, it's just, it's got a lot of upside. But yeah, it's hard to argue with Gruul. I think Gruul is the busted mechanic. I think Riot is a busted mechanic. You know, and
I mean, really, you would go, I would think going Gruul and splashing Rakdos, or going Rakdos and splashing Gruul, you really can't go wrong.
I agree with that. Especially, here's the thing, folks. If you open Mirror Match, you are playing red. Just plan to play red. Mirror Match, for me, the red card, this came out this week, that it's stupid. Five colorless, one red. Whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, flip a coin until you lose a flip. For each flip you won, create a token that's a copy of that creature. Those tokens gain haste. Exile them at the beginning of the next end step.
Yeah. So, ow. Yeah, I mean, so you go through and you start scrolling through and looking through the creatures that this would work with, which is all of them. And you try to see, which ones does this abuse the most? So you figure, let me read that card one more time. So it's a copy of the creature.
Yeah, it's a copy of the creature you're casting.
Which means if you do this on a creature with Riot, since they already have haste, all those tokens are going to get that +1/+1 counter.
Right.
You know, if for some reason the game goes late and you have the Mirror Match and you slam down an end race four runners, I mean, that's overkill.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, I got three copies, so now I have four 13/13s with Vigilance, Trample, and Haste.
Yeah. So that's the thing right there, folks. If you open that, and I mean, you could get Azorius, okay? You could have got the Azorius Guild back, and you open your third pack, and there's, you know...
I wouldn't go that far.
I know, but still, I think Mirror Match is what... Yeah. I would go Jeskai at that point, because I think Mirror Match is that good of a card. And, I mean, if they were like, well, we're sorry, we're out of Gruul and we're out of Rakdos, which one would you want next? I'll go Azorius. Hmm. I think Azorius has enough. At that point, you realize if your local game shop is out of Gruul and Rakdos, odds are good you're going to be facing big, dumb, stupid creatures, and the only hope you've got is to keep them from the battlefield.
I think I would probably do Simic.
Really?
Yeah, only for the fact that, not that necessarily the counters, but if you open up good removal in red and or black, you could still sort of go into it a little bit, because you can go green, blue, red.
True.
And you still have access to some of the Gruul stuff. You still have access to some of the Rakdos stuff. But then you have all the good stuff from Simic.
Yeah, and I understand that a bit. And I mean, as far as ramp goes in green this time, I mean, for limited, that's the thing. I'm not seeing a Gift of Paradise type of card. I mean, I could have missed it. Again, I've went through these a little bit.
It's in green blue. Okay. It's in Simic. It is a it's an uncommon. It's called Gyre Engineer. It's a 1/1 for one, a green and a blue, and it taps to add a green and a blue.
Okay, that'll work. So it's not really a land. It's a
it's a mana artifact. Dork. It's a mana dork.
Love mana dorks.
It's and there is some good, there is some ramping green. I mean, there's Wilderness Reclamation. I mean, yes. That card is. I've already actually seen a revised Turbo Fog deck that runs this, and
it's got to be good.
It's pretty silly. They basically make their win condition Expansion Explosion.
Right. Interesting. So they wait a second. Expansion Explosion. So what do? They
added a fourth color.
Holy crap!
Because you're untapping all your lands. So, yeah. you know, they have for ramp, they have Silhana Wayfinder. It's a 2/1 for one and a green. When it enters the battlefield, you look at the top four cards of your library. You can reveal a creature or a land from among them and put it on top of your library and put the rest in your bottom on, in a random order. So there's a little bit of ramp there. Cerulean Caretaker is a 0/3 defender for one green. If you tap that and tap an untapped creature you control, add one mana of any color. By the way, I think this is their quote-unquote attempt at Birds of Paradise, and I'm frankly insulted. they have opened the gates. Sorcery for one green. Search your library for a basic land card or gate card. Reveal it, put it into your hand, and shuffle your library.
True.
Very quick, very simple. Give me a land. I need it. And there it is. And then there was the, you know, aforementioned Incubation Druid, which is just busted in half. So, you know, green has its way to get land out quickly. It has its way to boost up mana. You still have a little bit of artifact mana in the set with the lockets.
Right.
So...
Okay, so I mean, I guess I see that. I still love the blue white. I just, the blue white combo cards in here. I mean, first, you know, moving away from what's her face there, Lavinia. I mean, some of the other things that they've got in here. I mean, it seems like in a limited, it's gonna shut things down a little bit. Each creature you control assigns combat damage equal to its toughness with high alert. You've got. You know, let's see. I'm just scrolling through here. Oh, by the way, Growth Spiral would also help you ramp.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because you can draw. That's another Simic card. You draw a card, put a land card from your hand into play.
Emergency Powers is kind of...
The only thing, like, for some of the cards that we mentioned, the only thing we have to keep in mind is that we don't know how fast this format is. And a lot of these cards that we're mentioning cost 5, 6, 7, 8 mana.
It seems a little slower, but we thought that with Guilds, too, and then Guilds surprised us.
Gruul, I think with Gruul, I think it's going to be a faster set. Because you have, you have Rhythm of the Wild.
True.
I mean, that enchantment is great. Savage Smash, target creature gets +2/+2, and then it fights a creature you don't control for 3 mana. There's Rubble Belt Runners, a 3/3 for 3 in Gruul. Nikia of the Old Ways... 5/5 for 5, 3 a red and a green. It says you can't cast non-creature spells. Whenever you tap a land for mana, add 1 mana any type that land produced. So it doubles your mana and not your opponent's.
True.
That's pretty silly.
That's pretty dumb.
Sunder Shaman is a 5/5 for 2 red and 2 green. It can't be blocked by more than one creature. And if it ever deals combat damage to a player, you destroy an artifact or enchantment that player controls.
Right.
It's... Gruul's got so much speed. I think this is going to be a fairly fast format. So if you want to go,
as far as combat goes, I mean, this is one of those where I'd probably have to lay down because I don't disagree with you really, and to the point of, I mean, you know, to be honest, okay, when I go to call the store this week, it's going to be, I would like Gruul.
Yeah, I mean,
is Gruul available?
But here's the thing: I could be completely wrong.
I don't think you're wrong. I also have to agree with you that Gruul, if you have the chance, folks, I think Gruul is the Golgari of this set. I think Gruul is the one that has the most upside from both the collection standpoint of getting ahead of that. Because I also think this is where the metagame is going to go, I think, is Gruul and Rakdos. I think you're going to see it more, oh God, what is the three colors? Red, blue, black, or red, green, black is It's not Temur.
No, we went this last time, and I forgot what it was.
God darn it. Anyway, it'll come to us. But, yeah. Oh, it's Jund.
Jund, yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to see... I think this is, like I said, I think this is going to bring Jund back huge. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see more Jund decks in Standard. I think the metagame in Standard is going to go Jund. So you cannot go wrong, I think, with my both of us agreeing recommendation is when you go to do your pre-release, see if you can get a Gruul deck. If you like to play aggressive, if you like to play foot on the gas, you know, bang them through. If you are a control player, then obviously you don't need us to tell you blue and white's the way you want to roll.
Yeah, or even green-blue to a certain extent.
Yeah,
they
even green-blue.
They have counter magic.
And in green-blue, you might have a little bit more. Looking at it, you might have a little bit more upside. A lot of the white cards, though, I mean, you've got a Twilight Panther that gets Death Touch. Mm-hmm. Like, a white card with Death Touch. What? What?
I mean, you know, Simic has their share of very good cards. For instance, Shark to Crab.
Yes, I saw that. I thought that was like
It's a fish octopus crab. Come on, it's awesome.
Listen, Watsy, I understand it's now legal in California, but maybe during development phase, you guys should lay off the pot. Right? I'm just this is my own public service announcement. Because this sounds like somebody was like on the medical well, now you can do a recreation. They're probably just sitting there going, shark to crab. It's a shark and a crab.
It's a fish.
Great idea.
And it's an octopus. It's an octopus, too. Don't forget.
Yeah. Oh, and an octopus. Somebody's like, pass the Doritos. It's like, give me the chocolate chip cookie dough that's raw.
This is like tentacle hentai.
What? I'm like, stop smoking the ganj during development meetings. I get it. But damn it.
But I mean. Aside all that, it's actually a really good card.
It is. It's a really good card, but I mean, I still look at it and just go, what the hell were you smoking?
So it's a 4/4 for 2, a green, and a blue. It has adapt 1 for its same cost, so 2, a green, and a blue to put a +1/+1 counter on it if it doesn't have any already on there. But
right.
Whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are put on Shark to Crab, best creature ever, tap target creature an opponent controls. That creature doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. So if they've played their bomb creature, if they've played some ridiculously huge thing that you really have no other way to deal with at the moment, Shark to Crab can buy you a lot of time.
It can, and try to find a way to remove it.
Yep, because Simic is all about adding counters, +1/+1 counters to creatures. So you can find other ways to put counters on your Shark to Crab. And by the way, as you're doing that, your Shark to Crab is getting bigger.
Yes, because he's big.
Yep. And fishy.
He's like a hydra. You cut off one tentacle and, well.
But he's not a hydra. He's an octopus. Get it right. God.
No, he's a shark.
No, he's a fish.
He's a crab. Leave him alone.
Damn it.
God, what are you? What are you? Quit smoking pot. I'm sorry. I guess I see your point. I mean, I'm just looking at a lot of the white cards in here that we finally get to see. And I like what they're kind of doing. That. I mean, I don't see a lot of lifelink, actually.
Not really, no.
Which is unusual for white. Usually white's like, hey, when you do this, I'm going to give you life. Now, some of the addendum gives you life.
Yeah. If you're going to see any of the lifelink, it's going to be in the Orzhov stuff.
True.
Because those are the two colors that really really do that.
No, but I'm saying the white cards themselves. So, they must have moved it strictly to Orzhov, because I'm just looking at the bare white and... there's not a lot of lifelink, which is unusual for any set.
Yeah, there's one right here in black. It's Thirsting Shade. It's a 1/1 for 1 black. It has lifelink, and you pay 2 and a black to give it +1/+1 till end of turn.
So wait a second. Let me get this straight. We have a black. Oh, my. So that's what they did.
Yeah.
They put lifelink on the black, and they put Death Touch on the white. They're like, again, I think they're smoking pot in development now.
Oh, there's three Death Touch creatures in black that I'm looking at right now.
Okay. Because I'm just like, wait a second. There's no lifelink in white. There's Death Touch in white. There's no... What?
Well, listen to this creature. This guy's interesting. I don't know how good he is in limited, but he's definitely something you want to build around. He's called Pestilent Spirit. He's a 3/2 for 2 and a black. He has Menace and Death Touch. Instant and sorcery spells you control have Death Touch.
Yeah, I saw that, actually.
So, you know, a shock could kill a dragon.
Yep. That's what that is. That's to shut down Golgari.
Yeah.
A shock can kill. It's not so much a dragon. A shock can kill the demon there. The one that flies. Crap, he's in my set.
The Doom Whisperer.
Yeah, Doom Whisperer. Like, that's called the high. We want to make it so that you can kill Doom Whisperer. Mm. So.
And they put a little bit of...
Hell. No, because he's hexproof.
No, it's Carnage Tyrant? Yeah. You'd have to... Well, I mean, all you'd have to do is find something that deals one damage to each creature. And there's a few of those in this
Cleansing
set.
Nova. Well, Cleansing Nova will destroy everything, but what's it? Justice Strike? No, because that's a target creature.
That's target.
Oh, what's the hell of the Clarion there?
Deafening Clarion would do it.
Deafening Clarion would do it. So that's what it is. It's like, oh, I'm only going to do one damage to you, but it's enough to kill you.
Chain Whirler would do it. There's another card in here, Dagger Caster, which is like Chain Whirler.
No, Chain Whirler won't do it. Instant and sorcery.
Oh, okay. That's right. Instant and sorcery.
That's what sucks about it.
Oh, Gates of Blaze.
Blaze will do it.
You need a gate in play, but that'll do it.
So, I mean, that's just it. It's like, again, in my opinion, it's Gruul, Rakdos, Simic, Azorius, those would be like my top four. And then, you know, the other two are just kind of like, you know, hey, if you can do them, the other one, or Orzhov, because there's only five, not six. But that would be I think we're both in agreement that Gruul is kind of, if you can get Gruul, get Gruul.
Yeah.
If you can't get Gruul, get Rock. Now, you and I might differ on Rakdos versus Simic. I think Rakdos is your, if you can't do Gruul, do Rakdos. But what do you think your like second would be?
I think if I had to pick a second choice, I would probably either go Simic or Rakdos, only because of the removal aspect. And again, what I would be able to go to in the other colors if I needed to add a third color to supplement it. So you want to look at those color combinations. I mean, in the end, bottom line, pre-releases are fairly casual. You're there to have fun. Play whatever you want.
Screw you. I'm there to win.
Yeah. So am I. But I'm saying in general, you know, this is, you know, it's a little more laid back. It's a little more casual. It's not like a serious tournament.
Yeah, you're getting points on your, you know, on your account, but let's face it, none of us are probably Pro Tour ready. So
this is, you know, it's a chance to play something you wouldn't normally play. Maybe if you're a control player, you dip your toe into Gruul and see how the aggro feels. Embrace the hate. Be the hate.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so that's it. So there, you know, I think we're both kind of in agreement on that. So hopefully we helped you guys with that. You know, let's go ahead and just, you know, I think we should end combat. You know, I think combat's over. Definitely.
Yeah, because I won again.
I think we drew.
Nope, victory. Drew. I'm writing down victory. I win.
No, I wouldn't say you won. I mean,
circling it. It's already in permanent Sharpie ink. You can't take it out.
52-0 again, right? 52-1.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that. So, moving on to main phase two.
Main phase.
Okay, the second main phase is where we're going to kind of talk about some news and other stuff going on. So, obviously, the first thing we talked about, we've already kind of talked about. The full spoilers are out. Mm-hmm. You can see every card that's coming next week. Wizards actually has it right on their site. Just look up Ravnica Allegiance full spoilers in Google. That'll be the first thing they take you to. Yeah, it's a weird but a good set. I'm really digging on it.
I'm very impressed by this set. There are a lot of very good cards at uncommon. There's a lot of good cards at common. The rares and mythics. There are some cards that the pros have circled and they have on their radar as far as cards that could be abused. There were a couple of people that. I don't even remember where it was. It might have been on Channel Fireball, but you know, don't quote me. But they're talking about that in the new standard format, we may actually see Nexus of Fate banned because they think it will become so powerful. They're calling.
I'm hearing that too. I've listened to a few podcasts, and they're saying, okay, they were like after guilds and after the rotation, they're like, Wizards learned about Nexus of Fate and how this. No, they didn't. Nexus, I think you're going to see, if you don't have four Nexus of Fates yet, by the way, get them. As far as the speculator market goes, get them now. They may get banned. He's not wrong, but get them now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, for those of you that don't know, we talked about it a bit last week. And I mean, here's the thing, Aramis and I both like to play Nexus. We both have a full set of them. And Nexus of Fate is 2 blue and 5 colorless, and basically what it does is it lets you get an extra turn after the current one It's stackable, by the way, even though the way that I always read the card was like it should be after the current one, you get an extra turn. It's like, well, I'm still, you know, if I play two in one turn, that should only give me one. But anyway, it's stackable. But the real kicker of that is if this goes into the graveyard from anywhere, put it back in your library and shuffle your library.
Yeah.
So you can roll it and roll it and roll it. And really with Teferi, and if you don't have four Teferis, why not? Again, you were kind of slow on that. You should get them now because they're only going to go up.
Yeah, but they're $52 currently.
Yeah.
Something
and
like that.
Those, but I think that's going to hold its value in Modern. I think Teferi does see play in Modern. You can't go wrong with getting it. Sometimes with Standard, if you see a card go to $50 in Standard, but you know that one, like, who was it? Chandra was the big one for that, like, or Hazoret. Like,
yeah,
you knew it wasn't going to see play in Standard. Scarab God, same thing. It wasn't going to see play in Modern once it rotated out of Standard. Like, Scarab God's now like $9. Like, and it went down from like 40. So it was seeing a lot of play in Standard, but you knew it wasn't going to rotate out. So less than 6 or 7 months until rotation, I would tell somebody not to spend $50 on a card that's going to rotate out in September. If you have the means, get four Teferis.
Yeah. That card's not going anywhere. It's replaced Jace the Mind Sculptor in Modern in some decks or supplemented it in others.
Right.
It sees play in Legacy. I believe it sees play in Vintage. It's probably the best Planeswalker they've printed in a very long time, if not the best one they've ever done.
Well, I don't know about the best one they've ever done. I still love Liliana.
Yeah,
I have to send that in, by the way.
That's another combat phase, anyway. Yeah. So.
But yeah, I definitely. So I think if you don't have Nexus of Fate, because I think Nexus is going to impact the metagame huge. Now, its counter would be a Gruul, would be a Jund deck, in my opinion. Like, because a Jund deck's going to come at you pretty fast. It'll come at you aggressively. There's enough fog to kind of try to put it on hold, but a Jund deck's going to have enough direct damage to where you're not taking so much combat as you are, you know, two to the face, one to the face.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
It's going to be an interesting thought. I'm plagiarizing from another podcast I listened to this week where they were like, you know, its counter would be kind of Jund. It's not going to be as, but it is going to be with the ramp and the stuff that they've put into green, blue here. And even some of the, there are people out there that are running a Jeskai Nexus. And some of the blue or some of the red white in this, it can help that. So I do think you're going to see more of a, Jaya Nexus, is it? Or what's green white?
Green white blue is Bant.
Yeah, Bant Nexus. So that's kind of what they're calling it now. Nobody's calling it really Turbo Fog. I think Bant is going to be the way to go. You may sprinkle a red in it just to kind of be able to do expansion explosion.
Yeah, the list that I'm looking at, they play, it's like 27 lands, and it's seven basics, and the rest of them are all just dual lands and an Arch Verazka. But what happens is that Wilderness Reclamation becomes another must counter card.
Yes,
because you know, Search for Ascanta is very dangerous. You have to get rid of that as soon as you can. Teferi, obviously, Nexus of Fate, obviously, because those three pieces are the engine.
Yeah.
But Wilderness Reclamation gives them another piece because it essentially doubles your mana every turn as long as you're tapping out.
Right.
And this deck will do that very easily.
And the amulet, because I put the amulet in my deck, and that is holy stupid. Mm. Like, if I get the amulet out there early enough, and if I can get it transformed, so if I can get it out turn 4 and get it transformed by turn 8, then every time I trigger Nexus, it's triggering twice.
Honestly, I think Wilderness Reclamation is going to replace that.
Maybe it will.
I think it's going to replace it because instead of making your instants and sorceries cost one less, untapping all your lands is making all your spells cost everything less.
Yeah, but there's something to be said for casting one spell and getting two turns.
Yeah, and getting copies of it. Yeah, that's definitely true. I don't know. It's going to be something we're going to have to wait and see. That you could
combat
see both
phase.
Yeah,
version 2.
you could definitely see both cards in the deck. I mean, but I think that Nexus is going to return, or if not return,
it's going to
become
tier 1 again.
It's going to go tier 1.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't even think Jund is a counter for it, because Nexus was built to counter aggressive decks. It doesn't care. The only thing it cares about, as long as its life total is out of burn range, and if you're playing Jund, you kind of are going to have to limit how much burn you put in your deck, because you're playing three colors.
Right.
You're going to have maybe 6 to 8 burn spells total, and you know, you're going to have to get all of them, because once they start taking extra turns, it's a downhill and it's real quick.
Yep. Well, it's turn 7 or 8, but if Jund can kill you before turn 7...
It's not even really that. They got to kill you before turn 5, because think about it. You can easily get Teferi out turn 4.
That's true.
And then turn 5, you can start Nexusing. You only need 5
because Wilderness Reclamation is going to let you... I mean, you can't cast Teferi as an instant, but...
No, but you
to
can...
To be able to, if to you, play... Yeah, you're not wrong.
You know,
I don't think you're wrong. I just think Jund will have the best Jund or a mono red burn deck, like just designed to hit you in the face as often as humanly possible.
Well,
like
here's how
4 lightning strikes, 4 lightning wizard's lightning, 4 shocks, 4 the little stupid goblin that does direct damage. You know, 4. You know, so there's 16 cards right there out of 60. You still need more burn, but I mean there's options.
Okay, well, I'm reading the article now, and it's even worse than I thought, because here's the thing. First of all, they can go off on turn 4. Second of all, Wilderness Reclamations, they stack.
Really? Oh, that's right.
It's a trigger. It's a trigger. Yes. So, but here's basically how it is, and this is from his article. So, all the credit for this goes to Bass Mellis on Channel Fireball.
Okay.
Turn 2, Growth Spiral. Okay. Turn 3, Wilderness Reclamation. You keep your mana up for either a Kempster's Insight or a Root Snare. So, because you've got 4 mana on turn 3. Turn 4, Teferi plus Nexus. Because you tap your 5 lands for Teferi.
Untap them.
Both of those triggers go on the stack.
Yeah.
So the first trigger you let resolve is the Wilderness Reclamation. Untaps all your lands.
All 5.
You float 2. Teferi untaps the other 2. There's your 7 mana.
Yeah.
And if you manage to get multiple Wilderness Reclamations out, you have access to double, triple mana every turn.
Oh, this is going to get stupid.
And especially if you have an active as Kanta.
You're right. You have a very, very valid point,
you know,
my friend.
casting, like this guy's saying, casting an explosion for 18 on turn, 6?
So that, you know what? That you would need the amulet. Then you absolutely need the amulet. I don't think the amulet's going to be replaced, because that could let you bring red in without red mana.
Well, this guy's list doesn't include the amulet. I mean, it's obviously a early list, but there's no room for it.
Really,
no room for it. The list that he has right here, it looks very good. I mean, the only thing that I was questioning was the expansion explosion at first, but he also has a Mirari Conjecture in there,
right?
Which also does the role of the amulet of letting you copy spells.
Yes. Oh, by the way, the amulet we're talking about is the Primal Amulet, guys. It came out in Ixalan.
Yeah.
So just FYI.
So Nexus is going to be really scary. I'm glad I have, you know, most of the deck already. And again, the scariest thing about Wilderness Reclamation is that it's an uncommon. So it's not like I'm going to have to go digging around for copies and pay $20 a copy.
Right. Well, I have a feeling it could be one of those uncommons.
It's going to be an expensive uncommon, but I think, you know, if you buy a box, you have a reasonable chance of getting 3 to 4 out of a box.
Right.
You know, even if you only end up with 1 or 2, that means you only got to buy 1 or 2. I mean, you're going to get at least one, almost guaranteed. Not completely guaranteed, because uncommons can be a little sketchy sometimes. You can have mythic uncommons, Fatal Push. But there is a chance that you open a box, you get 4 right there. Growth Spiral is a common. You're going to get a playset of that. And at that point, you just need to worry about grabbing your new dual lands.
Yep.
So. Which are, you know, none of them are going to be above $9, $10 because they've been reprinted a bunch of times.
Right. So, you know, with that being said, I don't think you're wrong on that. Definitely check out the full spoilers, though, because it's actually worthwhile. The other thing we really wanted to talk about before we get out of here is the announcement came out yesterday as well. They are going back to the well of Mythic Editions.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So the Mythic Edition. For those of you who weren't aware of it last time, when Guilds of Ravnica came out, they... Well, going back to a little more backstory, back in Battle for Zendikar and Kaladesh and Amonkhet Blocks, they had something called Masterpieces.
Which were so cool.
What these were alternate art, full art, alternate frame, super rare cards. There were really only a couple in a case of cards, which is like six booster boxes.
And I opened like a few in Kaladesh. I did.
I've never
loved it.
I didn't start playing until right before Hour of Devastation. So I never actually opened a Masterpiece. They stopped them after Hour of Devastation. So they're super rare. They were reprints of cards from way back in the day. So you could have gotten a Masterpiece.
Current. Like there was a Masterpiece Scarab God.
Yeah, there were current versions, but you could have gotten like a Masterpiece version of an Aether Vial or a Soul Ring. Or a Chalice of the Void, you know, some really powerful cards from back in the day in these alternate frames, and they were awesome. They were worth a lot of money. They're foil, all that stuff. They stopped it after Hour of Devastation. They said they were going to bring them back, and they kind of did in the Mythic Edition for Guilds of Ravnica. Unfortunately, they screwed it up royally because it's...
Oh, boy, did they.
It's Wizards of the Coast, and this is what they're good at.
No, it's Hasbro. This one was Hasbro.
Yeah, this one was more
Hasbro. I'm going to lay this firmly... Now, if you don't know, Wizards of the Coast was bought out a few years ago by Hasbro. So the company that made G.I. Joe is now in charge of Magic.
Woo.
Yeah. So, yeah, with that in mind, I mean, so the only way to get the Mythic Edition for Guilds of Ravnica was to go to Hasbro's eSite. Hasbro's eSite probably gets 10 or 15 hits a day from Grandma Moses, who thinks Junior wants to play Chutes and Ladders. Hasbro was not, I don't think, prepared for the idea that, you know, and I mean, they priced this Mythic Edition to, you know, I think they were trying to be like, yeah, we can handle it because it's $300. Who's going to buy this? So they priced it at some absorbent amount of money, thinking nobody was probably going to buy it. Oops.
No, it wasn't even that. This was a pure money grab. This is all this was.
Yeah.
Because they priced it at $250.
That was at $250.
Right. $250. And what it was is normally when you buy a booster box of Magic cards for a regular set,
$100.
It's $100, you know, if you get to it, if your local game store is expensive, it might be $120. But still, you're getting 36 booster packs of that set. The Mythic Edition, you're paying $250. You're only getting 24 packs. But you get automatically each card from the Mythic Edition set in 8 of those booster packs. But there's only 8 cards. So you know you get the full set, but you're paying an extra $130 for those 8 cards. Were the cards worth it? I mean, you know, it was an alternate art Teferi. There was Liliana of the Last Hope. You know, there were some good cards in that original Mythic set.
Right, and they are selling for a bit.
Yeah, they're selling for a bit. The problem was, okay, you're limited 2 per customer.
Yep,
that's fair. That's fair. I don't mind that at all because you don't want dealers to snap them all up and then resell them for a bunch of money. However, since you could only get them through the Hasbro store, you could only get them if you were in Canada or the United States.
Right.
Or maybe just North America. But still, they weren't shipped outside of North America. The website was terrible.
It really
orders
was.
They could not handle the server load. The website was constantly crashing. People's orders were not going through. So a lot of people ended up not getting it because it sold out almost instantly because they also did a very, very limited print run.
Oh, by the way, when they sold out, they took the money. Like, they were like, they didn't realize their e-commerce site was not real timing. Mm-hmm. So you would put in your credit card information, it would go through, and then you'd get an email saying, we have to refund you your money because we're out of stock. Like, so people are like, what?
Yeah, so they tried to make up for it by sending ultimate box toppers to a bunch of people that ordered it and didn't get it, which was, okay, that was kind of cool.
I wish I had done that.
But they're doing this again. So it's 24 booster packs for $250. 8 of those booster packs are going to have the full art, alternate art, you know, foiled version of these eight new Planeswalkers. The change that they've made is that you can still only buy 2 per customer, which is still great. I still like that. That's a good thing.
But hey, Aramis, What's going to happen when you go to Hasbro's e-com site? Did they fix it?
They didn't fix it.
Aww.
But luckily, that's because it's not available there. You have to go to their eBay site.
eBay. Hold on. Wait 1 second. Hold on. I'm getting a phone call. Yeah. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. 2003 called. It wants its commerce back. Yeah.
Here's what they should have done.
Amazon. Like, aren't they working with Amazon?
Well, not even Amazon.
They should have put it in the local shops.
Make the things available at your local game store. Or, better yet, make another Masterpiece set. Make it like it used to be. Put them randomly in booster packs. One per case, two per case. It could be as rare as you want it to be. People are going to buy more booster packs because they want the chance at getting an alternate art foil Tamiyo the Moon Sage.
Like, I think it should be a combination of both things. I think having the Mythic Edition is a great idea. If you want to be assured of getting one of each of these cards, okay, you're going to pay the premium price of $250. You're guaranteed to get one. However, by putting it only on eBay, and this is what really pissed off a lot of LGSs, was it wasn't just the Hasbro e-com site you could get it from. They also partner with Channel Fireball, and if you were at an event, you could buy it there. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, really what they're, and Wizards is kind of doing this. Like I'm one of these days we should talk about it. This should definitely go into our list of topics to talk about because we're getting towards the end, but you know, of how Wizards feels about the LGS, because this seems like a total screw you to an LGS.
Which, by the way, is the lifeblood of Magic.
Yeah, and I don't think Wizards are... I think it's probably Hasbro. This is more Hasbro. I'm sure Wizards knows. I think it's Hasbro. And this moving to the eSports, I got to wonder if Hasbro's thinking to themselves, hey, you know, Hearthstone doesn't have an LGS. We can, you know, we can do this and not really have to pay these LGSs. And,
yeah, but Hearthstone also doesn't have a physical presence, does it?
No, it doesn't. That's the point.
Yeah.
Is that I think Hasbro's long-term goal right now, and it won't work, obviously. It's a stupid idea, but I would not be surprised to hear that their long-term goal is to get rid of paper.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen either, but I think that they're sitting there. Don't forget, these guys are looking at spreadsheets with numbers, and they're like, whoa, there's so much more money with less. There's a lot more income with less outgo. Like, yes, okay, there may be more income from paper Magic right now, but it also costs a lot because you have printing costs and you have all of this, whereas they could pay, you know, Joe Schmo sitting at a computer terminal to program arenas, and hey, all I did was pay him a salary of $150,000 a year as opposed to $2 million to print up all these cards. It's a better ROI, return on investment. So on a number, this is what I think. I think Hasbro's sitting in a boardroom somewhere going, this is kind of where we should go. Which is why they're screwing the LGS, which is why, you know, I mean, the whole point is, and why I think they screwed the LGS too, is there was an article about 4 months ago, they're partnering with Amazon to sell paper Magic through Amazon, which means they're going to cut out the middleman of the LGS, and that means the profits kind of go to them, but they can lower the price that we pay through Amazon because of the bulk and all of that.
Yeah, well, here's one problem that I had with one of the things that you said earlier, was that,
sure.
You know, it's all the same cardboard. The printing costs are the same, no matter if you're printing the Mythic Edition, Ultimate Masters, or Ravnica Allegiance. It all costs the same.
I disagree with that because foil's a little more expensive, but go on.
But still, they've been doing foiling for years. It's a slightly slightly different foiling process for the Ultimate Masters and for the Mythic Edition.
Right.
It's not so much more that they have to double the price or triple the price in some cases. Ultimate Master booster packs are $14 a piece, whereas regular booster packs are about $4 a piece. There's no reason to charge $14 if the cards are the same, and if the quality of the cards in Ultimate Masters is better, you can port that quality to all of the cards. That's another issue we can have for another discussion about the quality of cardboard.
Because from where I'm sitting, though, I get that, you know, you should have to pay a premium if you want to be assured to get one of each of these.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that.
But I do kind of think that they're screwing the LGS again. And I think this is going to be a pattern going forward, and it's definitely something we could talk about. But I mean, really, the point is, and I mean, we've got to start wrapping it up, but the Mythic Editions are coming back. You can buy it through eBay. You know, if you just want certain cards, TCG Player will have them for probably about $250
each. Each. Yeah. So if you have the means and this is something you're interested in, because Hasbro's even gone out and said this isn't for everybody, even though. Right. Anyway, whatever. I'm tilting. If you have the means to buy this, and you want to do it, go ahead. It's a good product in that respect. Because you're guaranteed to get it. I think the implementation again is just not good.
Right, I have to agree. So you know, but that's kind of where that's sitting right now. Is so Mythic Editions are coming back. Yay!
Yeah, I won't buy it.
All right, so you know, let's go ahead and move to.
End step.
See,
all right, we're
knew
at
I
our
should,
end step.
I stepped
huh?
on that landmine. I shouldn't have done that. That hurt.
For me to record that, I had to lose in anyway. Well,
that shouldn't have been that hard to do.
Shut up. All right, so we're going to back ourselves out of here. We're in our end step now. You know, we're going to go ahead and clean up our board and all that, get everything put together. We want to thank you guys for tuning in this week. Next week's episode, I think we're going to deal mainly with draft strategies, because typically week one after a pre-release is another limited event at stores, and it's usually drafting. Mm. So, you know, we'll go through that. By then, Aramis and I both hopefully have played the pre-release Saturday afternoon, so we may record Saturday night or Sunday. So we'll maybe have some stories from that and maybe a better idea of a draft strategy going in. Mm-hmm. So that if you're going to go play at the week one events, you kind of got an idea. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. I'm sure there'll be more news. We're going to be on Twitch hopefully later today as soon as I'm able to get into my gaming computer. We won't discuss why. And so be on the lookout for that. Check out our Twitch stream, you know, and while you're there, just go watch the magic and then we'll go live.
Yeah, because I think there is a Grand Prix this weekend.
Yes. So, you know, we'll be on Twitch again. You can find us on Twitch at Planestalkers Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at Planestalkers Podcast. And I'm putting together the website for planestalkerspodcast.com. So, you know, that's going to be coming. You can email us. We'd love to hear from you. Email is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. You can also, please, we are now live in iTunes. So if you want this show to succeed, if you want this show to get more listeners, the best way to do it is if you are downloading this to your, I know, I'm sorry for those of you who hate Apple, but if you're downloading this to your iPhone or iPod, if you're downloading to your iPod, it's time to get an iPhone. But if you're downloading this podcast through Apple, please leave us a podcast review, preferably 5 stars. You know, the higher the rating, the better we do. So
be honest, but be nice.
Yeah, be honest, but be nice. And, you know, but definitely leave us a review. The more reviews we have, the more higher up we'll go in the rankings, which will give us more visibility. I'm also going this week to put us into the Google Play Store and Stitcher and the Satchel Podcast Player and other podcatchers I know. So hopefully there, you know, we'll be spreading the net. But and tell your friends, if you play Magic with a bunch of people, We'd love to hear. And if you email us your stories, we'll read them on the air. If you leave us a review, we'll read it on the air.
And let us know as well, like stuff you want us to talk about. Like if you're struggling with a certain aspect of your game, we can talk about that.
That would be great for Main 2, an Ask Aramis section. Oh my gosh. Yes. Send your letters to podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com for Ask Aramis. Hey, Aramis, what card should I play here? Mm-hmm. This would be, you know, if you want advice from the, you know, from Aramis, that would be great.
Yeah.
Card
interactions, rules, yes. Questions. I can help with that stuff. I love being able to, because the whole purpose of us doing this is to help you get better.
Yes.
Because, you know, Will you go to a pro tour? Maybe, maybe not. But if you know how to play,
they bought their ticket. So
okay,
they can go watch.
If you know how to, you know, if you know how to play the game better, it will make you play better,
and you'll enjoy it more. So, yes. Really, we want to again thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. You have a great week, Aramis. Any other final thoughts?
Not really. No, I think this is a good spot to end it.
I do too. So speaking for Aramis, I'm Will Benson. Again, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.